at our Yehuda Messianic congregation. This is Men's Saturday. Is this race weekend or something? It's race weekend every weekend. Every weekend is race weekend. Because we run the race with endurance, looking to Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Every day is race day.
Did you want to set up Facebook for the worship in the beginning, too? Or just
what?
Did you want to do Facebook?
Yeah, sure. Isaac, we can do Facebook in the beginning for the whole service. You can plug it in up here. There's the orange cord. Well, we can start anyway.
Yes. All right,
Heavenly Father, we just commit this Shabbat to you. But in your hands, we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us and bless this service and come and be with us. Bring the people out that you want to be here, Lord. And your word says wherever two or more are gathered in your name, there you are with us. So we just trust that you're with us today. In Yeshua's name, Lord, have your way. You've always been faithful to us. We thank you for that. Amen. Yeshua's name. Bind the enemy. Amen. And welcome, friends online, watching, wherever you are out there around the world. We're sorry we're late. We've had technical problems, as usual. But one of these days, when we get to heaven, we won't have technical problems. Because God said he would wipe away all our tears. And tears come from technical problems. So when we get to heaven, we'll have no more technical problems, and therefore we'll have no more tears.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we are zealous over Zion, but we're going to start with Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey. Shabbat, Shalom.
Hey.
Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until your righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world. On your walls I have appointed men, watchmen over Jerusalem. Day and night they will never keep silent, calling Jerusalem. For Zion's sake Jerusalem, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
Hallelujah.
Lead the way for the people. Build up the highway. Rainbow the stones. Lift up the standard. Behold, salvation comes. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, Jerusalem. I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth. Salvation as a torch, like a brightness that's burning to the world.
Revealed in you, a kingdom of praise.
for Zion, I am zealous.
Oh, for Zion,
I am zealous.
Oh, for Zion, I will dwell in Jerusalem.
I am zealous.
Oh, for Zion,
I am zealous.
Oh, for Zion,
I am zealous.
Oh, for Zion,
I will dwell in Jerusalem.
She shall be called the City of Truth, Mountain of the Lord of Hosts. Har HaKodesh, for thus says the Lord, I will save my people.
I am zealous
over Zion.
I am zealous
over Zion.
I am zealous
over Zion.
I will dwell in Jerusalem.
Are you zealous over Zion?
The Lord will go forth with a loud trumpet blast, the shout of the angel of God. The Lord shall be king over all of the earth. Shalom, friends on Facebook and friends online. We're glad you're with us today. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries, and I'm going to be teaching some of the mysteries of Shavuot, of Pentecost today, things that you may already know. Some of you may not know some things that I'm going to share with you today, and stay with us as we begin our teachings on Shavuot, which is the ancient Hebrew name of the what Christians call Pentecost, and we'll discuss the meaning, the difference in names, and how it got to be that way. But we'll get there afterward. And now I'm going to just turn it over to Miss Dawn. We're going to do the blessing of the Messiah.
Yeah, let's
okay.
Do that.
All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech hayeshua b'mashiach Yeshua, Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Dawn doesn't have a frog in her throat. That's Mr. Anthony over there. So, in case you were wondering, praise the Lord. All right.
He sounds great. It's just, he makes us have a nice deep voice over there.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's good. It's just I just want people to know it's not coming out of your throat.
It's true. All right. Well, let's skip over to Veshamru.
Okay. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat. Lasso et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat.
La sore ha shabat le doro tamburito lam. B'nei 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 Israel, b'nei Israel, ohi le olam v'shamru. B'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat la'asod et ha-Shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai et shemayim be'aretz v'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat La'asod et ha-Shabbat le'dorotam barit olam. Yom ha-Shavi, Shabbat v'nefash, Shabbat v'nefash, Shabbat v'nefash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat. La'asod et ha-Shabbat le'dorotam barit olam.
Children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we pray to Jerusalem. Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem.
Somebody help get the door for Aja, please. Thank you. All right, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we pray, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They that love her shall prosper. And we just thank you, Lord, that we prosper in you, Yeshua, that you prosper us in whatever way that you desire, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, materially, every way that you see fit, that we need prospering, that you prosper us, because we love Jerusalem, Lord, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, that you remove the scales from the eyes of your people, Israel, Lord, that you would save them, Lord, that they would see their Messiah. We just say to the Pharaoh, the spiritual Pharaoh that's fighting Israel, we say, let my people come. Let my people come. Lord, part the sea. Part the sea. Part the waters that your people build up. Build up the highway. Mm. call the people, bring the people back to Jerusalem, to Israel, Lord. Bring us back. Bring us home, Lord, we ask. Bring us back to Jerusalem and to Israel. We thank you, Lord, that you open the door that no man can open and shut the door that no man can shut. Lord, we also pray for the rabbis today. Lord, we pray for our leaders that you would bless them today, Lord, with vision. Joel Chernoff and other leaders, executive leaders, Lord, that you would give them fresh vision, fresh anointing, just do a new thing in them, Lord. Do a new thing in our leadership, Lord, and guiding us as a messianic, as the remnant of Israel, and guiding the remnant. Do a new thing in them, I pray. We just thank you, Lord, that you would do a new thing. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless the rabbis today, that they would not preach with boldness, and fill them with your spirit, Lord. Fill them with truth, and fill them with a prophetic unction to speak the word, Lord. We are the missing link in the church. Lord, we are, you know, what's been missing for 1,800 years nearly in Christianity has been the Jewish people, and the Jewish voice has been missing from the church for almost two millennia. And we just thank you that you've brought us back. And we have a word for the world. We have a word for the church, for those with ears to hear. And we pray that you open those ears. Lord, I pray for America. We pray for the salvation of our president, Lord, and we pray for his salvation and the salvation of the vice president and the leaders of this nation, Lord, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, and save them, that they would, there seems to be two Americas going on right now, Lord, and we just pray that you unite this country in some way, Lord. I don't know how you're going to do it. Prophetically, I don't see it, but I just pray for their salvation, Lord. That's all I can do. And the other thing I want to pray for is Taiwan is in a very precarious position right now. China seems to be preparing to invade and getting nasty with Taiwan, and there's really nobody to save Taiwan if China wants to invade. And we've also had an incident with Russia in the Black Sea. Our president has sent warships into the Black Sea because the Russians are building up troops on the border of Ukraine, which is a threat to an ally, and also to the gas line that goes to Europe. The natural gas line goes through Ukraine. If they control that, then they could cut off Europe, and Europe would freeze in the winter. That's what we're talking about here. So we're on some very precarious positions right now, and our president and the United States government is being very aggressive right now. Question is, we just pray they do the right thing, and they do the right thing at the right time in the right place. And we ask all these things, Lord, and we just pray for the healing of those who are sick. Pray for Rabbi Wentz's wife, who had stage 4 colon cancer, for her healing, for your intervention in her life, and that you would do a miracle. She's been given 4 months to live by the doctors. We pray that you would do a miracle. You healed Jenny Getz from stage 4 colon cancer. You can do it again, Lord. We also pray for Rabbi David Levine, who had quadruple bypass a couple weeks ago down in Jacksonville. We pray for my friend David and for his healing and return to ministry and health and wellness, and his wife and his family and his ministry, Lord, that you would bless him, meet his needs right now, and we ask in the name of Yeshua, Lord, and all those who are struggling, and there's others with sickness, we just pray for them as well. In Yeshua's name, bind the strong man and bless the service today, Lord. For the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'yahavtah et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha, v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinatam levanecha, v'dibarta bam, v'shivtecha b'veitecha, v'v'lechtecha v'aderech, v'v'shachbecha, v'v'kumecha, Ukishavtam, Almazazot Betecha, Uvishareka.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamorah.
Baruch
Adonai Hamrach Yolam Ba'ed. Baruch Adonai Hamrach
Yolam Ba'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Ha'amim V'na'atan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe,
who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah.
Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated.
Please be seated. Do you need a chair, Anthony?
No, I'm fine. I need one of those little canes that's got that seat on it. But I'm just joking. I'd have to be English to have one of those, I think. Okay, today's Torah portion is Shemini, and that means the eighth day. So God's telling us today there's an eighth day, but there's only seven on the calendar. There's one somewhere in between here and there. But it starts in Leviticus chapter 9 through chapter 11. And the Haftorah, if you read that, is 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. So we see that on today the tabernacle has been consecrated. And they took them 7 days to do all the things that God wanted within that time period. So we see the number 7 becomes a special day, or a special number, maybe I should say, that's within the Torah. You know, there are 7 days in a week. The Shemitah, the sabbatical cycle, is 7 years. And then the Yovel, which is the Jubilee, or 50 years, that is seven years times 7 weeks. So it's 49, and then the Yovel is the cycle of 50, which ties into, it's Jovel too, I guess, but he's here too, Jovel. Actually, I wrote J instead of Y. Oh, well. Yeah, Jovel in Hebrew is Jovel. that's pretty good. Thanks. So it's 50 days is what it comes back to us. We're going to into the Shavuot, whoever. So we'll have going to have a speeching on that today. The Pharaoh's going to speak on it. But today God is talking about the eighth day. See, when Aaron went into the tabernacle on that day after they consecrated the tabernacle, it was an eighth day experience. And there's something about the number 8 in the eighth day, because God has put in his word that there is an eighth day. It's a day that's not on the calendar, because we know we've got 7 days on the Gregorian calendar and there's 7 days on the Hebrew calendar. And so we see there's something special about the eighth day, because God has made a Torah portion, a parsha about that. But that's when Aaron went into the tabernacle to begin his working in the tabernacle for God. And fire, and of course, they had dedicated, and fire came out from God, and the offerings were consumed on the altar. And God's divine presence came in front of all the people. And of course, they fell upon their faces and began to worship Adonai, because he had come into his house that had been created by the Jewish people at God's words that Moses had directed everyone on how to construct that. So it's an eighth day. It's special. It's a very special day. You know, when Adam went into the Garden of Eden, that was on the eighth. That was an eighth day experience. The Torah is rolled on Simchat Torah is rerolled on the eighth day. It's the day after Sukkot, and Sukkot is 7 days, and then we have the rolling of the Torah, which is on the eighth day, and that's a special day that the Torah is rerolled back to the beginning of Genesis. We also see on that day, on the number 8, that the Brit Milah is another day that is on an eighth day experience, when a young Jewish child, man, is Jewish boy is consecrated to God with the circumcision by the Brit Milah. And so there's a lot of numbers 8s in there. And so but this part of the Torah portion today, we see that something happened that was very sad, but Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, went into the Holy of Holies after God had been in there, and they offered strange fire upon the altar of God. And that was something that God did not ask them to do, because they did some things that God did not want to happen, because it wasn't commanded by God, and it wasn't the time to bring the fire, and it wasn't the place, and they didn't bring it with the proper fire that they did, because God said, you know, it's only one time a year that you will come into the Holy of Holies, and you will do that after you have sanctified yourself and cleansed yourself, and you bring an offering of the blood and the altar off the incense and before God. But they did not do that. They went in, and they were immediately destroyed by God's holy presence there as they came in, and they were consumed. Their bodies were consumed, but their clothing was not burned. They just consumed them within their clothing. But I think they wanted to do something, because after all, Nadab and Abihu were both Kohen, and they were the sons of Aaron. But what's so odd about this, Aaron was not permitted to mourn the death of his two children. He could not mourn them, so he could not do that, because he was in service to God at that point, and they were getting the tabernacle up, and God was there in the presence of them. And so he has provided, you know, today we can see that God has provided us a pattern of how he wants things done within his kingdom and within his synagogue. See, we have to worship him in a manner that he has prescribed. He has set forth in his word how we are to come before him and how we are to do things that he is requesting us to do. You see, God tells us to sanctify ourselves and to be called to the holies because we are called to be holy because God himself is holy. So God has called us to be that, and that's by sanctification. See, God is calling us, I think, today to return to an ancient path that is the path that Yeshua walked and that he set the presence for. It's a path of honoring God and following God. And if you read this Torah portion today, you'll see that in chapter 11, it gets into the dietary aspects of the Torah. And we remember that God's word is eternal. And so these things that are in the Torah that a lot of people say are outdated because we have the New Covenant. A lot of people say the New Testament has overrode a lot of those things, but God's word is eternal. God hasn't changed his word at all. It's still the same. I think I told you a couple weeks ago that they found some more of the scrolls in Israel. And what was interesting that they found, again, the scrolls had the same language that is in the Torah that we see today that's printed. And nothing has changed, that God did not alter anything between those years. And it was like several thousand years that those were made. And so we see today that, you know, in Mark chapter 7, we see Yeshua is speaking about what is clean and what was unclean. He was speaking about the washing of the hands. And God, we also see in Romans chapter 14 that all food is not okay to eat. God has given us specific foods, animals, and things that we are supposed to eat. Acts 10:9 tells us that Peter had a vision of seeing a blanket coming down or a cloth, and it had four-footed creatures. But a lot of people say, well, that's okay to eat these animals, but if you look at the creatures, they were unclean animals. But if you look in chapter 10, verse 28, Yeshua tells us that no man is clean, that it, you know, that we are dirty because of our sin and everything. So God is telling us that it's not about eating unclean animals, but about us being unclean people by what we do and how we act. So Yeshua kept a kosher diet. He did not violate the Torah because the dietary aspects of the Torah are very clear and very plain. If you follow what God has given us in his word, you will live a lot longer and you live a lot healthier and you won't suffer from all these various diseases that are caused because of our diet and things that we eat that impact us. So it's something you may want to read and think about as you look at that. Remember, just to close this morning, all the mitzvahs are spiritual, and God is asking us to follow them by faith because he has given them to us. You know, the kosher animal is one of the ways to see, recognize a kosher animal is with a split hoof. You know, a lot of people say, well, the hog has a split hoof, but it doesn't chew its cud. It doesn't regurgitate its food after it eats. A cow will re-consume it and regurgitate it, and that gets the impurities out of the meat and everything that you will consume later. So now you can tell that the split hoof, both sides of the animal's hoof will be on the ground. They won't be up off the ground. They'll be up on the ground. And it tells us that, you know, that we live in a physical world, but God is the barrier, and his light is what keeps us in this barrier away from all these things that God has given us this morning as we look at that. So that is today's Torah portion. Shabbat Shalom.
Is already put away, so we'll just go to Etz Chaim. He.
Etz Chaim. Lamadazim.
Is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who are hold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You may be seated. Just going to have some announcements, and then we'll continue with our worship. And the message is coming. So Rabbi's going to be speaking on Pentecost, Shavuot. Don't miss. If you need to take a break here and there, and he'll be on probably in about 30, 45 minutes. And meanwhile, we're going to continue to worship him. And if you're in your living room or
don't,
wherever.
Don't worship me. But
don't worship the rabbi? No?
No. Oh, you. I know you worship me, but I mean, you know, they don't have to.
I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Hallelujah.
One time, Don and I were touring with a group around the country, and we were in a big church one day on a Sunday, and she says to the crowd, she says, "Okay, everybody, bow down and worship us."
It was a slip of the tongue, you know. You kind of get in auto mode sometimes.
People must have
the
thought
funny
it was a church, and they must have thought those Jews are awfully strange. They must think they're God.
They thought we were strange a lot of the times. That was back in the day.
Back in the day.
We had fun times touring around the country.
Back in the day.
All right, so just a few announcements. Want to welcome everyone, obviously, who's online and joining us for our service today. And we hope that you continue to connect with us. If you want to get more regular announcements, we encourage you to sign up for the newsletter. Just go to the contact page and send us your email, and we will put you on our constant contact list. And that's where we send out the newsletter, and we also send out special announcements for special things, all kinds of events that we do here. Now we do events when we can. Due to COVID, things are a lot more modified, but we still are having events. So stay in touch. And
if you sign up, we promise we won't drown you in spam.
Yes, we don't send a lot of emails, so your inbox won't be filled up with "for Zion's sake." I promise. Good. Diane said spam's not kosher.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right. Well, so anyway, sign up, and our next event coming up, we'll let you know what the details are, and we'll keep you posted. We are in the season of Shavuot, and so Rabbi's going to be speaking about that. And so Shavuot is the next feast coming up, and we were just talking about, we were looking at a newsletter. I think it was probably one of the first Shavuots we had here, and Ted Pierce came, and we were looking at the newsletter, and the big advertisement in our newsletter went out for Ted Pierce that year. And so we've been having Ted Pierce come quite often, and I hope you've been enjoying it. He lives nearby, so we're able to call on him.
He offered to come today.
Yeah,
I don't know. I said we didn't. He didn't have to. I didn't want to put too much on him. He came last week, and you know, I don't want to burden him. You know what I'm saying? But he offered to come, and one of our speakers is out, so it might have been a good idea because anyway. But maybe he wanted to come.
Yeah, never, Never say no. But anyway, just pray for Ted Pierce. He's coming more because he's close and because there's not a lot going on with COVID. And so he's joining us more often. So hope you'll come and join us when he is here because it's, you know, it's fabulous and we worship. And we worship together, and it's important that we not forsake the assembling of the saints together. You know, the enemy wants to divide us. He wants us to stay apart. He wants us to not be together. And we can do all kinds of things to make sure that we're safe and that we stay as healthy as possible, and we do that here. So we invite you to come. We've got plenty of space, and God is here in the house. Amen. His spirit is here and his ruach is here. Hallelujah. We have a mighty worship. So and the dance. So come and join the dance. Come and join the worship. Come and enjoy the oneg and the fellowship afterwards, which we are having today, I assume. We're having oneg today, so please stay and have some lunch. All right? No one's ever gotten COVID in this house. So praise the Lord. We continue to pray for that. That's all the announcements I have, Rabbi. So I'm going to turn it back to you. All right?
Okay. Let me, Isaac, you can turn it. That's fine. Okay, but I mean, you can turn the camera if you want. Test 1, 2, test 2, 3, test 3, 4. Okay. Shalom, everybody. I just want to mention a couple things that Don didn't mention. I am a little ringy dingy up here, and that's not just including my mic, but seriously. I want to mention that we are having, since we were meant, Don and I were going to go to Israel for Passover, but they wouldn't let us in, and a lot of people don't let us in, but they wouldn't let us. So we went to Florida instead, the next best thing, American Israel, and we went to Florida, and we had a good time. We had a good time. Unfortunately, Isaac was sick, and We were, you know, that was kind of a bummer for us, but I did get to enjoy the beach some, and I haven't enjoyed the beach for 3 years. I've been sick. I haven't been able to swim for 3 years or for more, and I actually went swimming this trip, and my blood counts were strong enough that I was able to go swimming, so I swam 4 days, and I had a wonderful time doing that. I really swam about, I don't know, swim laps in the ocean, so that was a lot of fun, and so we had a good trip to Florida, and it was kind of interesting, it was kind of prophetic, because as we were leaving town, as Passover was beginning, hailstorms and tornadoes started coming to this area the day after we left. It was almost like, since I'm the guy that's always teaching about Aliyah and going back to Israel, you know, and Exodus, I've been one of a handful of only about 2 or 3 Messianic rabbis that teach on it in the country. you know, Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel to go put a hole in the wall of the city of Jerusalem and go through, pack his bags, and leave at night and go through the wall, and it was a prophetic symbol to the people that they were going to be leaving, to pack their bags, and there's exile was coming. Ezekiel was part of the exile, of the Babylonian exile in 586. He left when the Babylonians came. He fled to Babylon, I suppose, and he was warning the people. God had him actually act it out by packing his bags and going through the wall and escaping, you know. And I think what God was trying to say to the people was, get out before it's too late. I think that's what God was saying to Ezekiel, to tell the people, get out. Don't wait till it's too late to get out. Pack your bags and get out now, because you may die if you don't. And I'm not saying I'm Ezekiel, but I just sense something interesting about how God brought us out away. Usually I'm teaching Passovers here, and then that wasn't the case this year. He had us leave and pack our bags, and then hail came, plagues, and on top of COVID and tornadoes and all kinds of things that were coming through the tornado alley. So I just thought that was interesting. I don't know if you caught that. I caught it. But we need to be ready for what's coming, and we need to be prepared, and we need to be thinking along those lines. We need to be, in the spirit. We need to be praying, God operates in patterns, and maybe I'll talk about that in some of my message today, about the patterns. He repeats patterns of history. So I'm going to get off track and teach here. The reason I wanted to mention, we're going to have a Passover on April 25th, Sunday, April 25th, we're having our second. If you read Numbers chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, when the priests were traveling, and I guess I'm a priest, so since I lead Passovers, when the priests were traveling or when they had touched a dead body, God said to Moses, tell them you can celebrate the Passover a month later. So we're going to have Passover a month late. It's called, the Orthodox Jews call it the Pesach Sheni, the second Passover. And King Hezekiah, he celebrated the second Passover. If you read in Chronicles, King Hezekiah celebrated the second Passover himself, and it was one of the greatest Passovers in all Israel. So God honored that second Passover because the priests weren't consecrated. Hezekiah's priests weren't consecrated, so they waited a month. And so that's what we're doing. We weren't ready. Passover caught us off guard this year. We're a small group, and we weren't ready. Purim hit us. Passover was early. We just couldn't get it all together in time. It was too much, going to be too stressful. Don and I were traveling, and it was just too much. We couldn't even get the flowers. It was, that's the way it was. So I said, you know what, this is too stressful. Let's just do Pesach Sheni. So we're going to have the second Passover, which is legitimate. I'm not making this up. This is rabbinic. This is biblical. This is God give us permission to do it when you're not ready. And we're doing it a month later. So prepare, plan to come on September 25th. If you'd like to join us, we can handle a small number of people. Just again, let me know, email us, message me, whatever, contact our ministry, call our office or email our office, that's also a good way, on the website, and let us know that you're interested in coming. We'll contact you, give us a way to contact you back. We'll get back in touch with you and let you know. If we get enough people interested, I'll get a tent in the yard, and we'll have a larger group. I have a friend who rents tents, and it's quite nice in the spring, to have a big tent out there and have the tables and do it outside. So we almost had, if anybody knows a place to get lamb, where we can get a lamb that we can roast, Dave almost was able to acquire one, but if anybody else knows someone who has a lamb, he wasn't able to get one. He was able to get a flock. But he didn't want a flock. He just wanted one lamb, and the guy wouldn't give him one lamb. So we just need one lamb. So if anybody knows of a place to get one lamb where we can roast it and have it for Passover, that would be fantastic. Amen. So Lord, give us a lamb.
Amen.
Amen. So let's all repeat that. Lord, give us a lamb.
Give us a lamb.
In Yeshua's name.
Yeshua's name.
Amen. God answers prayer. All right. Is that all I want to say? If not, yes. I'll think of something else later.
So we will have a meeting at Oneg concerning Passover, and also for Shavuot, what we're going to do for Passover and Shavuot. So just keep in mind that Passover, as Rabbi is explaining, is... What's the date? The 20, 20
fifth.
5th. It's a Sunday night, I think. And then Shavuot will be right around the corner. So probably the next week, but I haven't looked at it on the calendar.
Yeah, well, I'll talk about that soon in my message.
So that is all. And we're going to do our tithes and offerings.
Hallelujah. Let's pray for our tithes and offerings. If you're watching and you'd like to contribute to this ministry, you can go to online to our website and donate through PayPal or a credit card. So if you watch us and God blesses you in what we're doing, support your Messianic congregation, your local Messianic congregation. If people didn't support it, we wouldn't be here. So, and if we weren't here, if you enjoy it, we're the only one in 120 miles. So if that matters to you, then support it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the worship. We thank you for the Lord. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the reason we're here today, that because our eyes were opened and because you rose from the dead and you gave us the victory, Lord, that death has no sting for us. Hallelujah. And that you will wipe away every tear. And we just thank you, Lord, that we are to live as Messiah, to die as gain. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and your faithfulness to us. Great is thy faithfulness. Now bless this offering and bless the givers 100-fold as they give. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen.
As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonders of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we'll see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. From his bed he'll take us home. Jesus is coming, coming to the earth. We'll leave the sadness we have known. As we fly through the sky in the twinkle of an eye, we will see his precious face and know the wonders of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home. Sky in the twinkle of an eye, he will see his precious face and know the wonder of his grace. And his love will say, welcome home, welcome home. Beautiful
Sally Klein O'Connor song. You can catch her music, Sally Klein O'Connor, on Spotify. She's got beautiful music, very, very worshipful. Yeah. Good stuff.
Tune you up again. Tune. I think you're out of tune.
ye people, clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph.
Hey!
Clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. To the peoples under us, the nations under our feet.
Hey,
clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph.
Hallelujah, let's worship him. Feel heaviness, then just push through and do it anyway. All right, here's the verse everybody can sing. Everybody, lie, 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 la, 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 lie. Come on, everybody, do it. Lie, 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 la, 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 lie. I gotta hear you. Lie, 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 la, 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 lie. Lie, la, lie. Let's sing praises to him. Come on. Oh, sing ye praises to our God and King, for he is King over all the earth. God reigneth over the heathen from his throne in Zion. Hey, clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. Lie, 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 lie. The princes of the people are gathered, even God's people of Abraham. Of earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. Hey, clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Shout unto God with your voice, a voice of triumph, a voice of triumph, a voice of triumph. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. Call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, at noon, and at night, for you have shown mercy to me. So I will dance, you have shown mercy to me. My heart will sing. You have shown mercy to me. Fill me with joy, joy, joy. You have shown mercy to me. You have shown mercy to me.
exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. I call to you, Lord, for help, and you heal me. I will rejoice in the morning, noon, and at night, for you have shown mercy to me. So I will dance, you have shown mercy to me. My heart will sing, you have shown mercy to me. Fill me with joy, 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 you have shown mercy to me.
Hallelujah.
My glasses, I couldn't see it. We have to write it out bigger.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You like some of these new songs we're doing? And we'll do more. We're gonna go to the Lord's table, and if you're watching and you'd like to join us, if you have some grape juice or fruit of the vine of your choice, and some crackers or matzah, you like to join us. I go and get yourself ready, and I'm gonna move over there, and we're gonna do that. I'm gonna go to the Lord's table. In Hebrew, that's the Shulchan Adonai. So if you'd like to join us at home, get yourself ready, and I'll move over there. Okay. Praise the Lord. Test 1, 2. Okay. All right. Shalom. Shalom, Facebook. Let's give it up for the Facebook friends. Amen. Hallelujah. And shalom, friends on live stream. We welcome you. Love you. Glad you're with us today. Praise the Lord. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua, it was a Passover night. Luke chapter 22, Matthew 26 tells us he was eating a Passover meal, and Yeshua took the cup after the meal, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, the Brit Chadasha, the new covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." Then he took the bread, with the afikomen of Passover, and he took the bread, that afikomen, he broke it, the matzah, into little pieces, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, Jewish people at Passover, every year, we take the third cup, the cup of redemption, the cup taken after the meal, but Jewish people don't call it, say, "This is my body, this is my blood poured out for the the new covenant for sin, for your sins." Amen. And then when they eat the afikomen, they don't say, "This is represents my body, his body given for us." And that's the difference between Messianic Judaism and Judaism right there. That's the essence of the difference, is that Passover was all about him. He is the Lamb. John said when he saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The Lamb of God. He was talking about the Passover Lamb. Anytime you see lambs mentioned in the Bible, like in Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's generally talking about, not always, but a lot of times it's talking about Passover. And it's a reference, the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. It says right there on that banner that's probably 50 years old, the Lamb of God. That's the Passover Lamb. Or it says the Lamb of Glory there. But he's the Lamb of God. He's the Passover Lamb. And he's the all the bulls and goats and lambs couldn't, was it? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Amen? Well, all the fatlings and lambs, rams, bulls, and goats burned and sacrificed so that you could be cleansed wouldn't cleanse you forever and give you eternal life. However, the Lamb of God does just that. Amen? Amen? And so if you believe in the Lamb of God, Messiah, Yeshua, that's all you have to do. That's why we don't have a sacrificial system anymore. That's why it's gone. It just makes so much sense, doesn't it? Yes. You know, no more sacrifices because he did it. Once and final. Amen? Yes. And he represents all the sacrifices that were made in the temple. And there is no altar. There is no way for a Jew or anybody to make atonement for their sins. There's only one way, the Bible says it. If you believe in the Bible and you believe in God, there's only one way. And the rabbis tell you there's a million ways. There's different Judaisms. There's Orthodox, Reform, Reconstructionist, Conservative. There's the different brands of Orthodox Judaism, you know, and they all have their different ways of getting to God and getting to heaven, you know. But it's all based on works. Except for the Reformed Jews, they don't believe in heaven or God at all. They don't believe in it. I don't even know why they worship. It's kind of like a Unitarian church, but it's Jewish. They don't believe in God, you know. They don't believe in any of it. They don't believe in the Bible. That's Reformed Judaism. But, so if you ask, we have a joke among Jews, as I am one. We have a joke, you know, ask three Jews for an opinion, you'll get four answers, you know. You've heard that one, right, Gary? Yeah. I figured you had. So, you know, it's true. I've studied many Judaisms, and their answer for what happens when we die is different. Everyone. But there's only one true answer. And, you know, so Yeshua is the answer. Hallelujah. Let's bless the cup and we'll take it together. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. For all those who believe in the risen one, that he died on the cross, was buried 3 days and three nights, rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death, giving you the gift of eternal life and healing and salvation and all these wonderful things, fellowship. If you believe that, I invite you to join me. L'chaim, to life in Yeshua. If you don't believe, I invite you to go ask God to show you who he is. Just ask God, who is Yeshua? Oh yeah, that's what I did. God, who is Yeshua? And what is he to me? And if you sincerely ask him that question, he'll show you. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Josh, would you get my chair, please, young man? Younger man. Somebody's pink phone is up here. Purple, pink. Here, Josh, why don't you take this down? Thank you. All right. Let's pray for the word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for Shavuot, for Pentecost. And we just thank you that you reveal things to us in your word, truths that we did not know as we begin this series on Shavuot, on Pentecost, and hopefully that you bring us together in unity. In Yeshua's name, Lord, just reveal truth to us today from your word. Open our ears, anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see. Bind the strong man, Lord. Bind the strong man. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right. So, let's turn in our Bibles. Let's begin in Leviticus 23, if you have a Bible. Turn to Leviticus 23, or a phone, or a computer, whatever you're using. And we will begin. Hallelujah. So Leviticus 23. So God lays out eight feasts of the Lord. Everybody say feasts of the Lord. They're not the feasts of the Jews, although he entrusted them to the Jews. They are not the feasts of Paul or the feasts of Moses. They're the feasts of the Lord. And it does say he entrusted, gave the Jewish people the oracles of God were entrusted to us in Romans 3. So, therefore, you could say they're the feasts of the Jews because we're the ones who kept them for the world to know about. And Christians wouldn't have Pentecost. Sadly, I think Pentecost has declined as a Christian holiday. Would you, anybody agree with me about that? It's kind of declined as far as celebration in the church. Raise your hand if you agree with that statement. I'm seeing a couple hands go up. Is it taught as much as it used to be many years ago? No? Why do you think that is? You don't have to answer it. My suspicion is lack of understanding. I would say that the reason many Christians And what I've witnessed, and I'm just going to share what I've witnessed, and you can agree with it or disagree with it, there's a great division in the church over the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of Christians don't celebrate Pentecost because they associate it with speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost and all that. And those Christians who don't speak in tongues and don't believe in the power of fire of God and the power of God to the healing and miracles and raising the dead and seeing people get out of wheelchairs and the blind receiving their sight and things like that, they're going to stray away. They're not going to do it because it's not, it's easy. If I don't do it, then I don't have to think about it, right? So they avoid it. That's my suspicion. And then you have the Pentecostals who are, or the people, the charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call yourself, spirit-filled people who do celebrate Pentecost in some way. Their focus is almost solely on the Holy Spirit, from what I can see in the church, is Acts chapter 2, speaking in tongues. And the fire of God, and that's not, I'm not saying that's bad, but there's a lot more to it. So this is an ancient holiday, and I'm going to open by asking you this question. What were all those Parthians, Medes, have you ever wondered, what were all those Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Gentile converts to Judaism, what were they doing in Jerusalem on that Pentecost or Shavuot day, which Christians, one other reason Christians celebrate is they believe it's the day of the birth of the church. That's generally considered by Christians worldwide. It's commonly accepted as the birth of the church, as Pentecost. Would you agree with that? Can I get an amen? It's the general acceptance. I'm not saying it's the actual fact. It may be the birth of the church. I don't know, what day the church was born, but Pentecost is as good a day as any other. So, not going to argue about it. But I think that's one of the reasons why Christians do celebrate it. It's funny how excited people get about the birth of the Messiah, but they don't get that excited about the birth of the church. I don't know. Is church that bad? Is it boring? Is church uneventful? Is it something that makes you want to cry? No, don't make me go. I don't want to go to church. I used to like to go to church when I went to church. And by the way, this isn't a church. This is a Messianic synagogue. Facebook calls us a church, but we're not. We don't call ourselves a church because we're not Presbyterians. We're not Baptists. We're not Protestants. We're not Catholics. We're not non-denominational Christians. We're Jews. Amen. We're Messianic Jews. And we're Messianic believers. And we're proselytes to Messianic Judaism. We're proselytes to Judaism here. Messianic Judaism. We're Jews who believe in the Messiah. That Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God. That He died for our sins. That He was buried 3 days and three nights. And He rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. And that His resurrection is one of the greatest event in history. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. His miraculous resurrection is the greatest miracle in history. And anybody can believe in the birth of the Messiah, but you won't be saved. Anybody can believe in the death of the Messiah, and you won't be saved. Anybody can believe that the Messiah lived, and you won't be saved. Anybody can believe He's a prophet, and you won't be saved. You can believe He's a rabbi and a teacher, but you won't be saved. But if you believe that He rose from the dead, amen, then you will be saved. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's power in the resurrection of the Lamb of God. Amen? There's power in the resurrection of the Lamb of God. Glory. That's amazing. Everybody believes. Buddhists believe he lived. He was a man. Muslims believe he was a prophet. Jews believe he was a rabbi or a teacher. He was all those things. He was a prophet. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was a man. He was God. He was 100% man and 100% God. That's the miracle of it all, is that he was both. God came down and dwelt among us as one of us so that he could experience what we live, what we experience, as, and that he could gain empathy for us by being one of us. And that's why he did it. And then he took our sins as a man. He took every sin. I don't think he went to the cross. I don't think he went to the cross sweating blood in the garden. I don't think he was agonizing in the garden because he knew that nails were going to be put in his hands. I don't believe that he agonized in the garden and begged his disciples to pray with him and was frustrated with them because he said, "Can't you pray with me? You know, can't you stay awake 1 hour, you know, and pray with me?" And he went and prayed twice. "Father, let this cup pass from me. No, not my will. Thy will be done. If it be possible, Father, take this cup from me. Don't make me go through this." Was it the scourging? Was it the 39 lashes? Was it the sleepless night? The cold? Was it the thirst? The hunger? Was it the beating? Was it the crown of thorns that he was worried about in the garden? Was it the nails in his hands or the nails in his feet? No. It was having all of the filth. Think of a dump. Think of a dump. Now think of every dump in the world. Think of every place that's wretched that you've ever been to. I don't know if you've ever been to a shanty town. I have. In the Caribbean, I've been to shanty towns in South Africa. I've been to Indian shanty towns. I've been to places where people live in the gutter. You know, they have sewage, raw sewage flowing, you know, like in channels or behind their houses. You know, just raw sewage, no pipes, no nothing. I mean, it's just flowing out behind their houses, and it stinks. It's filthy. They live in squalor, people around the world. You know, and you think of all the filth of every dump. I'm not talking about shanty as being, but just that dirt, the dirtiness of the world, the sin, the ugliness. You know, every disease, every sickness, every sin, every immoral thing, every unclean thing, every unholy thing, every wicked thing, every satanic thing, every evil deed, every evil, every seance, every human sacrifice, every divorce, every person who kills their loved ones or goes and shoots people in a school or a church or a mall, every war, every place where people were tortured and drawn and quartered and had their bowels removed. I mean, you know, the English were great at doing that kind of stuff. They had all the tools, man, I'll tell you, to cut you up and dice you and slice you and tear you apart. And many of, you know, the Syrians. I was watching a movie just a week ago, last week, on the 73 war, and some of the Jewish prisoners that were subjected to those very similar, they were electrified, and they were torn apart, cut, and disemboweled, and fingers cut off, and fingernails ripped out. And that all that wickedness was poured out on one man. He paid the price for the sins
of Genghis Khan, of Hitler, for the sins of Mao, for the sins of Stalin, for the sins of everybody, every one of us, everyone. There is not one who hasn't sinned. There is none who are without sin, not one. He took them all. That's why he wept in the garden. Yes. That's why he wanted Dad to take the cup from him. Because that's a burden that no human being could really take. And it just, that's why it says he was crushed. The weight of the sin of the world crushed him. Really, it crushed him. Only the God-man could go to the cross, take our sins, and then even say, I thirst. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished. Today you will be with me in paradise. Only the God-man could do that. Nobody else would have the strength to even say those words, to utter. Amazing. All right, we're here to talk about Shavuot. Now, in Leviticus 23, in Passover, it says, we've just come through the Passover, which was on the 15th day, on the 14th day of the first month. So we'll look here in our trusty biblical calendar, and we'll go back to March. And we see here in the pink that the evening of Passover was the 27th. Saturday night was the first night of Passover on March 27th. But the Bible doesn't tell us in Leviticus 23 verse 5. It says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. March 27th isn't the first month on the Gregorian calendar. Amen? Amen. March 27th is not the first month. What month is March 27th on the Gregorian calendar? It's the third month, right? March is the third month on the Gregorian calendar. January, February, March. And the 27th has nothing to do with the 14th day of the first month on God's calendar. So we first of all see that God has a totally different calendar than we do. Whose calendar is right? God's. So we're all marching on the wrong calendar if we're not following God's calendar. Amen? Amen. We're all missing it. It's like if you shoot a rocket to the moon and you're one degree off. By the time that rocket hits the moon, it's going to stray thousands of miles from the moon. If it's just 1 degree off when you shoot the rocket to the moon, you've got to be precise or you're going to miss it. Amen? Or Mars or wherever you're sending it. So we have these biblical calendars. I think we still have some. They're art calendars. And they're you know, like those Bibles that have like King James and you know, New Living Translation and different types of Bibles in one. This is what this calendar is. It's a Gregorian calendar. It has January, February, March, but it also has the biblical calendar in it. So, like you can read in Luke 1 when it says, in the sixth month, Mary, the angel Gabriel visited Mary, and told her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her. You find out that the first month and the sixth month actually wasn't June. It would fall around the beginning of September, roughly, is when the angel Gabriel visited Mary and told her she would conceive a child by the Holy Spirit, because the sixth month on the biblical calendar isn't June. It falls around. It's called Elul, E-L-U-L, Elul, and it falls around September. Okay, so, all right, so let's read Leviticus 23. So we read that Passover was on the 14th day of the first month. So in the Bible, the first month falls around March or April. So Happy New Year. Okay. Now let's move on to verse 15. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. Well, let me just, somebody asked me today, let me explain the name of Pentecost and Shavuot, okay? Well, actually, read on, then I'll explain it. So, you shall count, verse 15, for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, after the day after when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be seven complete Sabbaths. What is the sheaf of the wave offering? Okay, so in the spring, when Passover is the barley harvest in Israel. So they would make a cake of leaven, of unleavened bread at Passover, and the first the priest would take and wave one sheaf of unleavened bread as the wave offering, and he would bring it to the outside the Holy of Holies, and he would wave it before the Lord, you know, and some say he would wave it in the sign of a cross, you know, like this, and offer it as a first fruit offering, okay? And it was done on the morrow after the Sabbath at Passover. Everybody say that. On the morrow after the Sabbath, that's Sunday morning. Sunday, Sunday. I can't trust that day. Seriously, it was the wave offering was on the morrow after the Sabbath. So you count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. Well, he's referring to Passover. So Sabbath is Saturday. From the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be so seven complete Sabbaths. So you count 7 weeks from the Sabbath at Passover to the day after. Verse 16, you shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. Okay? So remember I said in the spring is the barley harvest. So the priest would take a loaf of barley bread, unleavened, okay, like matzah, and he would wave it on the morrow after the Sabbath, the day of Feast of First Fruits. First Fruits. 1 Corinthians 15:20 says, I believe, for Christ is our first fruits of those who have risen from the dead. He is our first fruits. And the feast was called First Fruits. So really, Easter should be called First Fruits. Easter Sunday should be called First Fruits, because the Bible tells us that the day of the wave offering, the day that the tomb was, that Sunday when the tomb, it was predicting that that kernel of wheat that fell to the ground, that unleavened kernel of wheat, with who was pierced and bruised and striped, bore and for our transgressions, bore our sins and our sickness, is Yeshua. So for 1,400 years, the priest was playing with bread to prepare us for the Messiah, who is the bread of life. Amen? He is the manna. He is the bread that came from heaven. The Bible says so. And so the for 1,400 years until the fullness of time, the priests would, when they could do it, when they weren't in exile, when they had a temple, they would wave the sheaf of the wave offering. L'chaim. Sorry about that. There is another one. We always have an extra on hand. Next time, let's not use thin matzah. There's more back there. But anyway, this should work. We'll be okay. We've got an extra piece. So anyway, it's always good to have an extra. Sorry, Lord. This is live TV reality. Okay. So anyway, this is represents Yeshua. Okay? But then let's read on. This is really cool. Okay, so Shavuot, will you get me an extra piece? This one's starting to break too. Okay, so barley harvest in the spring. Let's review. Barley harvest in the spring. Priest brings out one piece of bread. It's unleavened. Represents Yeshua, right? Okay, let's read on. Verse 15, 16. You shall count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. So let's talk about Pentecost now. Before we get to the second grain offering, let's talk about the name of the holiday. So the Jews call it weeks. Why? Because they're counting 7 weeks from the Sabbath of Passover. 7 weeks. Now, I always count from the first Sabbath of Passover. So Passover this year actually began on the Sabbath, or on the night of the Sabbath, Saturday night, and after the Sabbath. So actually the first Sabbath of this Passover would have been the following Friday night. But most years, the first Passover, first Sabbath, it's usually a Friday or Saturday. It's a Saturday. Because the morrow after the Sabbath, when he rose from the dead, was the first day of the week. So, you know, we'll get into that in a second, but let's just focus on the name. So how does it get the name? You shall count 7 weeks to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. That's 50 days. It says so right here. 50 days. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Well, the Greeks call it Pentecoste, which means 50th, as in 50 days. The Jews call it weeks because it's 7 weeks plus a day. So Shavuot, a Shavua is a week or a period of seven. Shavua. Shavuot are periods of seven. They can be 70 years, 700 years, 7,000 years, but they're periods of seven. But a Shavua, the traditional greeting, we say Shabbat Shalom. Let's all say Shabbat Shalom. Okay. At the end of Sabbath, we say Shavua Tov. Have a good week. That's what Shavua is. Shavua Tov. That's the traditional greeting at the end of Sabbath to wish somebody a good week. A Shavua is a week. So Shavuot means weeks. Christians call it Pentecost. They focus on the 50. And the 50 is not there by accident. It has to do with Jubilee. Jubilee. So, all right, so now we come, so let's go 50 days. Let's count, let's say we've moved on from the wave offering here. Back at, remember, the priest at on the morrow after the Sabbath, on Sunday morning at Passover, he took the barley loaf. By the way, the barley harvest is a much smaller harvest than the wheat harvest, okay? And so he took the barley loaf and he waved it at Passover on the morrow on Sunday, all right? Yeshua, everybody say, this represents Yeshua. Okay. Now, hold your place there in Leviticus 23, but go back to Leviticus 2. That's Leviticus dos in Spanish. Cinco de Mayo is coming. That's my birthday, in case you're wanting to send me a Starbucks gift card. Or a Dunkin' Donuts. Or a pinata. Okay. Okay, Leviticus 2, the grain offerings. Verse 1, now when anyone presents a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it. He shall then bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and shall take from it his handful of its fine flour and of its oil with all of its frankincense. And the priest shall offer it up in smoke as a memorial portion on the altar of offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. The remainder of the grain offerings belongs to Aaron and his sons, a thing most holy of the offerings to the Lord by fire. Now, when you bring an offering of grain, listen, offering baked in an oven, it shall be unleavened, cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers spread with oil. Did you hear me? If your offering is a grain offering made on the griddle, it shall be of fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. So God said, everybody say, God said, the grain offerings were to be made unleavened. So go back to Leviticus 23, please. Now let's look in verse 17. Now we're 50 days away now. We're in a new harvest. Everybody say new harvest. This is the wheat harvest. Gary, I like that dew. That's sharp. I'm gonna do that. I'm almost there. All right, let's move on here. So seriously, I know I do like it. I saw you coming out of McDonald's the other day. I said, man, Gary looks very sharp. He looks like, what was that guy, David from Crosby, Stills, and Nash? David Crosby. Just about 300 pounds less. All right, let's move on. That's a compliment, Gary. You're much more handsome than David Crosby. All right. You shall bring in, 50 days later now, new harvest. We're in the wheat harvest in June, May, June, whatever. It's the wheat harvest, bigger harvest. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves. This is verse 17 of Leviticus 23. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering made of two-tenths of an ephah. They shall be baked of a fine flour baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Oops. Wait a second. Didn't we just read in Leviticus 2 that God said when you bring a grain offering to the Lord, it's to be made unleavened? What's up with that? What's up with this? What's with the leaven? Okay, so let me give you my trusty leaven example. Being a bagel guy, I didn't bake these, but God said, so the priest, there was another first fruits, okay, another on Sunday, first fruits, you know, Pentecost Sunday, right? Everybody say Pentecost Sunday, right? It's always on Sunday, isn't it? Amen? Yeah. Yeah, Pentecost Sunday. So that was the day the priest, but the Jews called it Shavuot, and the priest would take the two loaves of bread, and I had to steal my son's Raisin Bagels. I used to own a bagel shop, and I don't own one anymore. But these are a good example of leavened bread. You see, they're not flat. They're actually quite tasty with cream cheese. Butter or peanut butter. Excellent. Anyway, they're full of leaven. What's going on here? Why would God put leaven, tell them to bake? He just told us in chapter 2, don't put leaven in the grain offering, and now we're putting leaven in it. Exception to the rule. Everybody say exception to the rule. God, thank God he has exceptions to the rules, because sometimes his rules totally excluded women, and they were really tough. And that's why the woman who had committed adultery, she got off because of, not of an exception, but the law said that you were to bring the woman and the man to the priest to be judged, and the man didn't come with her. And so I think what Yeshua wrote in the sand was the name of the man that was in adultery with her. And since his name wasn't mentioned and he knew who it was, all those other cowboys who were accusing her slithered away. They were amazed that he knew who the man was. But he couldn't punish her by the law because that man didn't show up. Amen? And so they said, stone her. And he said, no, I'm not going to stone her. We're not following the law here. She doesn't deserve to be stoned because the man didn't come. So he forgave her sins instead and said, go and sin no more. Amen? And he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. All right, back to the leavened loaves here. So we got We're 50 days later than Passover, seven Sabbaths to the morrow after the Sabbath, to the Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, the day the church was born, the day that all those Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, were there in Acts chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, that the church calls Pentecost. Why were they there? To celebrate an ancient feast of Moses. They weren't there because of Jesus. They weren't there because of the resurrection. They didn't know about it. They hadn't heard about it yet. These were just God-fearing Gentiles and Jews who came to Jerusalem to celebrate an ancient 1,400-year-old feast of Moses. That's why they were there. And the Holy Spirit fell, and 3,000 were added on that day. Now, we're going to get to that, the 3,000. But right now, we're going to talk about the grain offering. You shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves of bread for a wave offering. Two loaves, not one. Remember, at Passover, the priest took one loaf of unleavened bread and he waved it before God. Remember, who did we say this one represents? Yeshua, barley harvest, right? Much smaller. We're going to explain that too. But now we've got two loaves, and it says you shall, as a wave offering, so the priest would again go before the Holy of Holies and he'd wave the two loaves before the Lord, the sign of the cross. We need a vacuum after this is over. I'm in a really precarious spot. Could somebody grab this matzah out from under me, because I'm really going to crush it. I'm going to crush this message too. Praise the Lord with his help. Thank you. No, just take it. Take it away. Move it away. I'll just put it on that napkin over there. It's fine. Thank you, dear. That's good. I don't want to step on any more matzah. I'm crushed. I feel like one of those women, those Italian women crushing grapes. You know, I'm crushing matzah. All right, so we're 50 days later. We've got two loaves of leavened bread. The priest is doing his wave offering. If that is Jesus, who is this? And now, if you know already, don't say it. I want to give people a chance who don't know to figure out, who do these two loaves with leaven in them represent? If you don't know, you don't know? No, I want someone who doesn't know to say, if anybody can guess. Anybody who doesn't know, any guess before I let Diane say? Okay, Diane, go for it. She's singing, Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father. Hallelujah. Even the horns are honking with me. Praise the Lord. So, this is Jew and Gentile, and the leaven represents our sin. God accepted us on Shavuot, on Pentecost, as a grain offering with our sins, Jew and Gentile. This is a bigger harvest. This is the wheat harvest, much bigger than the barley harvest. And you know, it's interesting. He left us. He left 10 days earlier, and he told his disciples, go wait in the upper room and wait and pray. He didn't tell them to pray. He just said, go stay in the city, he said, until you be imbued with power. I think at the end of chapter of Luke 24, I think it is, he said to his disciples, remain in the city until you be imbued with power, or clothed with power from on high. That's all they had to do. Sometimes with God, just simple obedience. Just doing what he says. Stay in the city. Don't leave Jerusalem. How hard is that? I could stay in Jerusalem for a year and not leave. You know, I'd find something to do. You know, if I could afford it. You know, Jerusalem is about the, I don't know, it's in the top five most expensive cities in the world to live in. To own property, anyway. It's the highest, one of the highest real estate markets in the world. It used to be number three years ago. I'm not sure. It may be number two now or number four. I don't know. It's up there. Anyway, Jew and Gentile. So God knew. He was saying that I'm going to build my congregation, not my church, with Jews and Gentiles. Okay? This new creation he was making, the Jews were kicked out of the church 1,800 years ago. Do you know that? We were kicked out, expelled by Constantine and his Roman. We were canceled, cancel culture. We were censored. We were murdered. We were murdered. We were raped. We were pillaged. We were excommunicated from the church. Jews were kicked out of the faith. Jewish bishops were stripped of their authority. We were booted from the church 1,800 years ago, and only 50 years ago did we start coming back. We are the missing link in Christianity. We are why Christianity is so divided, not because of us, but for the lack of us. Because we haven't been there, Christianity hasn't been able to figure out the missing link. So every different group of Christians is trying to figure out what the truth is, and they don't know because they haven't had the Jews to tell them. Because God gave the oracles of God, all the Word of God. Romans chapter 3. What value is there in being a Jew? Much in every way, Paul says. For to them the oracles of God were entrusted. The Jews were given the Word of God to bring to the world. We were called to be a light to the Gentiles. But you kill us and excommunicate us, cancel us, censor us, kick us out, excommunicate us for 1,800 years. And then you have institutional anti-Semitism in the church. Now, you're great. Let me cut you some slack, friend. You didn't do it. Your papa or your mamma didn't do it. Your pastor didn't do it to us. But maybe your great-grandfather was a Nazi. Maybe your grandfather was a Nazi. I don't know. I've stayed in some German houses. I was, you know, as a missionary, I traveled the world. And I stayed in the home of some Germans one time. And I struggled with it because they were very nice people. They were real Germans. I mean, they spoke with a German accent, you know. And I really struggled with being in their house. But they were very sweet. They made strudel. And it was really good strudel. And I ate, you know, the strudel, and had seconds. I'll never forget. You know, you remember? This was apple strudel. This was 25 years ago, 23. I still remember it. They were lovely people. Now, I know they weren't Nazis. They were God-fearing Christians, but they were old enough to be in the Second World War. They were alive, and. You know, not every German was a Nazi, but, you know, when you meet people that lived during the Holocaust, it makes you wonder, you know, what connection do these people have to the death of almost all my ancestors, and to the fact that I can't trace my lineage back past 1945. I'm sure you can't either, Gary. Maybe some, but we can't go too far back because the birth records in Europe or wherever, you look Ashkenazi, you don't look like you're Sephardic. And so the birth records of your ancestors were destroyed when the town halls in Poland and Lithuania and Russia were burned. The genealogies were destroyed. and they destroyed the cemeteries, and they took the gravestones and they made pavement out of them, and they tried to erase us. It's kind of like the way people are tearing down statues and erasing the history of the United States right now as we live and breathe. That's what they did to the Jews during the Second World War. They took our monuments, they burned our synagogues, they burned our holy books, they burned our Torahs, and they burned us, and they shot us, and they gassed us. They did burn us in ovens, and they burned us alive or dead, and they threw us in pits and buried us in mass graves. They shot us, they buried us alive. They did anything they wanted to us. They raped us. They did horrible, unspeakable things to us. And I have a friend, Louisa Munzer. She's passed on, gone on to be with the Lord. She was in Auschwitz. She was my friend. And she took me to her house one day. She was a school teacher. She was unable to have children because a guy named Dr. Mengele from Auschwitz operated on her when she was 13. And he sterilized her. God knows what else he did to her, but we know that he sterilized her. She was unable to have children. So she became a school teacher so she could have children. And she loved kids, but there was always a woundedness, a bitterness. And she was a tough lady, I'll tell you. She probably died around the age of 70. She was tough. There was a hardness to her. She wasn't forgiving. She didn't know the Lord. She had a hatred in her for the Nazis. I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. She was in Auschwitz, you know. Who knows? Who can even imagine what she saw, what she went through? But yet she came out and lived a normal life, you know, free in America, post-World War II, during the best years in history. From 1946 to 1990. I mean, probably doesn't get any better than those years, you know, in this country. I mean, as far as, except for the Vietnam War, you know. Anyway, this feast is about unity, folks. Jew and Gentile, one in the Messiah, together. God intended for us to be one. One people of God. One Lord, one body, one faith, one God and Father of us all. Amen. Not two, but we're more like 2,000 faiths. We have people that won't accept you because you're not baptized in the right name. We have people that won't accept you because you don't wear the right clothes, or your hair isn't in a bun. You cut your hair. We have people that won't accept you because you're not baptized in their church. We have people that won't accept you because you're not a member of their church. And we have people that believe you're saved by believing in Messiah, but by believing in the church. That's the Catholics. If you believe in the church and you're a member of the church, then you're going to be saved because you're a Catholic. But that's how you become a believer or become saved, by being a Catholic. It's the church you believe in, not the Savior. It's the church that saves you. Odd. There's other churches that believe you have to be, Church of Christ, Christian churches. Many of them, most of them, especially Churches of Christ, they don't believe in instruments, singing. They also don't believe you have to be, they believe you're saved through baptism, water baptism. That is not the baptism that Yeshua did. John said, I baptize you with water, but after me comes one who will baptize you with fire. It's right there in the Bible. So what is it so hard for a whole denomination to think that you have to be dunked in their church to be saved? Other groups of Protestants believe you have to be sprinkled in their church when you're a baby. How can babies be saved? They don't even know what they're doing. Salvation is a choice. It's not something that's done to you by your parents. You can't be born a Christian. You're not just, you can be born a Protestant. You can be born a Lutheran. You can be born a Presbyterian, but that doesn't make you a Christian. I once was ministering on a Sunday in a Methodist church in Destin, Florida, with my wife and group of people, and I gave an altar call, and 15 people raised their hand for salvation, sitting in the pews. They thought they were Christians. What they were was Methodists. Now, I'm not saying all Methodists aren't Christians. I'm just saying there are people sitting in churches that think they're Christians, and what they are is members of churches. And that won't save you. So God intended for us to be one. Pentecost is about unity. It's about a harvest of Jews and the harvest. Don, if you hand me the grain there, please. It's customary for Jews, we count the omer, the sheaves. This is a sheave of wheat. And so we count every day, the 50 days, between Passover and Shavuot, count the 50 days as bringing in the wheat harvest. We don't bring in a wheat harvest, you and I. Archer Daniels Midland does. Pillsbury, they bring in the wheat harvest. We just eat it, right? Hopefully we're getting good wheat. Not so sure anymore. Anyway, bottom line is the wheat represents, just like the bread represents Jew and Gentile, and the matzah, remember this piece of bread, this is Jesus, right? Passover, the wave offering on first fruits, Yeshua. And this is the wave offering at Shavuot, is you and I, amen? And counting the 50 sheaves is a way of kind of bringing in the harvest. It's about going out into the fields. Fields are white, but the workers are few. The laborers are few. There's not enough people out there gathering the sheaves. Isn't that what Ruth did when she went to Bethlehem with Boaz? Didn't she go out in the fields and she gleaned, actually. She gleaned. This is such a beautiful picture, Ruth. She gleaned from the Jews as they were gathering in the harvest. Was it barley or wheat when Ruth? I think it was the barley harvest. They were gathering in the harvest, and she was gleaning from them. That's a picture of the way God wants the Gentiles. He wants Gentiles to glean in a Jewish field, and then they become part of the field. And she not only became part of the family, she became wife of the owner. She was a Gentile. She not only started out as a poor gleaner, and it was in the Bible that Jews were not allowed to take the whole crop. They were to leave corners of their fields for the poor to glean from. They were to leave fruit that fell on the ground and stuff for the poor to come and glean and take, so they'd have something for the poor. And Ruth was in that position, but she ended up being their boss. As a Gentile, she married the boss. How awesome is that? So she went from nobody, from a poor person, you know, gleaning the remnants of wheat, to being the boss's wife. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. But she had to be in a Jewish field to do it. There was a Jewish connection. Think about that. All right. Well, I think I've said a lot. Let me see if there's anything I can review. Pentecost tells us. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2 for. Well, look at Exodus 32 for a second. This will be Exodus 32 and verse. Moses had come down the mountain. They built the golden calf. He was mad. He smashed the tablets. And basically, anybody who was against him, he told his priests and those people who were with him to strike down their brothers, and 3,000 died that day. Verse 38, Exodus 32. Where does it say 3,000 died? There is no verse 38. Hallelujah. If anybody can find out where the 3,000 died that day, I would appreciate it. Let me know if you find it. But anyway, 3,000 died that day. And interestingly, they were... I want to make one other point here about the feasts. This was the holiday that Moses was asking Pharaoh, let us go, let my people go, that we may celebrate a feast in the wilderness to our God. In the third month, this was the feast that they celebrated. Passover was in Egypt. Passover was in Egypt, but the next feast that they celebrated was Shavuot, 50 days later, when they were wandering around in the desert at Mount Sinai in the third month. Amen? I think that's in Exodus 19. I'm going to go there for a second. Somebody look for...
Exodus 32:28.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's read that. So the sons of Levi... All right, so verse 27. Moses said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, dedicate yourselves to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today. So 3 months out, go back to Exodus 19, in the third month, verse 1. Everybody say, in the third month. After the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt to that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they camped at Sinai in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel yourselves, you have seen what I've done to the Egyptians and how I've borne you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. It's not Bill Gates' earth. It's not Mark Zuckerberg's earth. It's not Jeff Bezos' earth. It's not Joe Biden's earth. It's God's earth. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded. And so it was what month is Passover? It's the first month. When you count 50 days from Passover, praise the Lord, all the visuals. Let's go. All right, count 50 days. From Passover, March 27th this year was the 14th day, the beginning of Passover. So you count 50 days, that's 7 weeks. So the 27th to the 3rd is 1 week. The 10th is 2 weeks of May of April. 17th is 3 weeks. The 24th is 4 weeks. The 1st is 5 weeks of May, the 8th is 6 weeks, and the 15th is 7 weeks, And then the morrow after is the Pentecost Sunday, is the 16th of May, and that is in Sivan. So you've gone from Sivan, you're in Sivan 5, will be the day of Pentecost this year. May 16th will be the day on this calendar of Pentecost Sunday. Now, interestingly, so let's look. So how many months did we go through? We went from Nisan, which is the first month. Then the second month was Iyar. And the third month is Sivan. So in the third month, they were at Mount Sinai to celebrate a feast to the Lord, and 3,000 died. Interestingly, in Acts chapter 2, there was the third month, and 3,000 lived, were added, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. The letter kills, and that's why Pentecost under Moses brought death to 3,000, because they broke the law. They weren't under Yeshua. They weren't under grace. But in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 souls were added. Isn't that awesome? Let's go to Acts 2 for a second, and let's read that, and then we'll conclude. Now, I haven't even talked about the Holy Spirit, have I? We'll get there next week, maybe. Acts chapter 2. All right, so hallelujah. Where does it say they were 3,000 were added that day? Peter preached and says, "Men of Israel, listen. These words Yeshua the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God." And he preached to them, and then he goes on, "Brethren, I confidently say to you." And then let's see where he says. Now, when they heard this, verse 37 of chapter 2 of Acts. "Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Hallelujah. Anybody else excited? Can I get an amen? Where's my sign? Do I have to give you a bagel? I need a hallelujah sign. Can somebody make me a hallelujah sign? All I've got is get over it. And then, can I get an amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. 3,000 were added. Amen. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Praise God. All right. Well, that's my message today. It was, there's a lot more. We'll get to the Holy Spirit. Maybe next week we'll talk more about Shavuot, but I hope that you learned some things today that some of you didn't know. I know some of you have been with me for years. You know some of these things. But God always, the Spirit always teaches us new stuff, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Amen? He's always teaching us. Doesn't matter what I say. God's speaking to us, you know, in his own way. Amen. So thank you for coming. And we love you, folks online, folks in the house. Thank you for coming today. I forgot to mention during the announcements, we have a $20,000 matching gift challenge that we have. We had a broken window. We have very old windows here. We're in a very old building. We need to put windows in. We have things that need fixing. Our carpet's torn in several places. We have tape on the floors holding down the carpet. We have a lot of needs for our congregation. And if you want to help Jewish ministry, you want to support the Jewish people, this is a good way. Support your local Messianic congregation. If you get your teaching here online, we encourage you to support the ministry. That's how we come to you every week. So you can donate online, and every dollar that you give will be matched up to $20,000. And in fact, our mortgage is $62,000 or $61,000. So if we could knock that off, man, if that would be great if we could pay off our mortgage. So, but anyway, we have several needs, and some are very pressing. We had a broken window this week, and the windows are about 70 years old. If you look at them, 60 years old, 70, somewhere around there. They're very old, and we had a broken one downstairs, and we have no way, you know, they're not easy to replace, in fact. So we really need new windows, and a lot of fixing up around here. Our speaker broke this week, one of our main speakers, and we need to repair that. And we have electricians coming to put in new ceiling fans. One of our members bought ceiling fans for us. So please participate in the matching gift challenge. And thank you, and God bless you. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha, V'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Thank you for watching. Share this with a friend. Invite a friend to sign up for our newsletter, our teaching newsletter. I send out teachings every 6 or 8 weeks. And from a lot of people tell me they enjoy them. We'll snail mail them to you, or we'll email them. Sign up at our website. Like us on Facebook. And God bless you all. We're going to have lunch now for those who want to stay. We have Oneg. And so we're going to have some food. And Shabbat Shalom.
yourself.